signs of an apostle were wrought. They were able to speak with tongues that they hadn't studied, languages they had not come to learn. They were able to lay hands on the sick that they might recover. All of these things were done by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, over in Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 3 and 4, he talked about how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken to by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Jesus imparted that power to these apostles of the Lord. They were able to work miracles, and they were able to lay hands on certain ones and impart those gifts to them. That's where it stopped, by the way. For example, in the eighth chapter of the book of Acts, we have the account of Philip going down to Samaria and preaching. Philip was one of those seven men chosen by the church in Jerusalem to wait on the Hellenistic widows who had been neglected in the daily distribution of foods and supplies. And they thought they'd been neglected, so they appointed seven men to do that, and Philip was one of them. But he's also identified later on as Philip the evangelist in the 20th chapter of Acts. And verse 4, he's 21st chapter, he's called Philip the evangelist. Well, he went down to Samaria when the disciples were scattered after Stephen was executed, put to death. He went down to Samaria and preached, and a great number of the people were obedient to the faith. And he worked miracles among them, so much so that a certain magician or sorcerer was amazed about it. He talked about wondering about something. He did. He saw this. He knew that the great things he professed to do were fakes. But this was genuine. He could see that. So much so that he reverted to kind and said, I'll give you money if you give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Spirit. And, of course, Peter rebuked him for that and said, your heart's not right in the sight of God. But these were miracles that were performed by the apostles of Christ and those on whom they laid hands. And the purpose of it was very clear. The purpose of it was to confirm or establish as true the message of the gospel that was being preached. They couldn't get up and quote Acts 2:38 like we can now, or Mark 16:16, because the text hadn't been written yet. It was going to be in the process of it very soon. But when they went out to preach, they had that word, the oral word in the heart and on the tongue of the men that God sent to preach, the Lord sent to preach. And so to verify, to certify that message, God enabled them to work miracles, wonders, and signs. The working of miracles, wonders, and signs belong to the age, to the time of the revelation, of the making known of that mystery of the gospel. Now I want to move from that and talk about something else. The gospel that Paul preached was not only confirmed by miracles, wonders, and signs both performed by Christ and by his apostles, but I want to talk just a little bit about eyewitnesses. Did anybody see all of this? Are there any ones who can testify that I was present and I witnessed this myself? Yes, we have the testimony of witnesses. In fact, in the 18th chapter of Matthew, Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he had with him Peter, James, and John. Later on, Peter referred to that event. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 beginning, he said, we have not followed, we talking about the apostles, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Some people think the miracles reported in the Bible are just a collection of Jewish folklore and tales. No. He said, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he said, there came a voice from heaven when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And he said, this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were there with him. And this voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said, we were there. I'm telling you what I heard and what we saw on that occasion. He's an eyewitness of it. Not only was he an eyewitness, but John was, and he wrote about it. In 1 John 1, the first three verses, John said, that which we have seen and heard have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, declare we unto you. Now, what's that about? He talked here about seeing. Hearing, there's one of the physical senses. And seeing, natural sight. Here are things we heard. This is not testimony. This is not just a collection of things that have been handed down by other people to us. This is what we heard. We heard this. This is what we saw. He said, not only did we see it, but we have looked upon it. Now, what's the difference in seeing and looking upon? Well, the difference is in intensity. Looking upon suggests the idea of minutely inspecting a thing. You don't just look at it, but you look it over well. You inspect it. When they came to the tomb, when the women came and said Jesus had been raised, remember, Peter and John ran to the tomb. And Peter went in first, and then later John went in and noticed that the grave clothes that had been wrapped around him when Joseph of Arimathea had buried him in his new tomb, those were lying in one place, and the napkin that had been bound about his face was lying in a different place. They not only went into the tomb, they observed this. They're witnesses to these things. And so Peter and John both testified about that. Then John said, not only did we hear it, not only did we see, not only did we inspect or look upon it, but he said our hands have handled all the word of life. That's reminiscent of what we talked about here this morning when Jesus appeared to his apostles that Sunday night after his resurrection and showed them his hands that had been pierced with the nails and his side that had been torn with a spear. And so he said, our hands have handled all the word of life. That's what we declare unto you. We are eyewitnesses of these things. Now, when we talk about eyewitnesses, we need to talk a little bit about the credibility of witnesses. In a